There are snakes in the lectionary this week, aren't there? Yes. And St. Patrick's Day was yesterday. If you believe in coincidence and conspiracy, this is your weekend. However, I want to go back to last weekend for a second in the lectionary, and this is unfair of me. I'll be honest about that. But how many of you remember our Old Testament reading from last weekend? It's unfair because I didn't preach on it. I really didn't even mention it. But it has relevance suddenly this weekend. No one. Like I said, it's an unfair question. And you didn't go to church.
I read it and I still don't
remember. You read it and you still don't remember. Well, the good news is you can cheat. It's in your books of common prayer. Last week was the Ten Commandments. And there's a couple important ones in there. Okay, there are 10 important commandments in there. There's like 603 other commandments we don't focus on so much, but there are at least 10 of them that are kind of important, we figure. And one of them gets kind of interesting when we look at today's Old Testament reading. So, the Israelites are in the desert. Just hang on to the old 10 commandments. We'll come back to that in a second. The Israelites in the desert. So, of course, they are complaining. The good news is this is the last time they complain. But, you know, it's not the first time they complain, is it? No. The bad news is this time, instead of complaining about, say, just the food, although they first complain, if you pay attention, that there is no food, and then that the food is bad. It's sort of like watching a two-year-old complain. You're like, well, you have to pick one. But we'll move on. Or, you know, just about Moses, or just about not being in Egypt. They pick all of these, and they complain about God. Now, they've picked everything else before. There is no food. We don't like the food we do have. Moses isn't a very good leader, although none of that is really accurate or true. But complaining about God is kind of new for them, so far as we know. It's not unheard of. Go read the Psalms tonight. Lots of people have complaints to lodge against God. So if you've ever found yourself in that place, feel comforted. You aren't alone. But it's sort of a ratcheting up of the Israelites in the desert. And as a result, we get snakes. Not just any kind of snakes. These are not, you know, friendly gardener snakes that are mostly harmless and kind of cute to watch slither through the garden. Or, you know, as my family has done to play with in the McDonald's parking lot. We washed our hands before we ate anything. And I think the McDonald's management was a little disconcerted when we came in and said, there are snakes outside, and not, there are snakes outside. It's only one of the many weird things my family has done in a McDonald's for that matter. The fry boxes, when you unfold them, make a great example of tessellation. Yes, anyways, back to the snakes. So they get not only snakes, but poisonous snakes, or depending on how you read the Hebrew, fiery snakes, not friendly. And now they have something new to complain about. Possibly something a little more valid than their earlier list of complaints. Maybe. Just possibly. So God has instructions for Moses, because Moses is much more patient with the Israelites than I think I maybe could have been. They come back to Moses, and after their previous list of complaints, which included Moses, Moses still goes back to God and says, so, what can we do for these people? God says it's simple. I've got a plan. I want you to make a metal snake. Now, depending on how you read it, it's a bronze snake or a copper snake. I like to imagine it as a gold snake. But remember when I talked about the Ten Commandments?
Yes.
Does this sound like a problem? There's a commandment about this sort of thing, right? Especially when we get to the end of this line and put it on a pole and lift it up. What's that commandment about again?
No idols.
Now, because I am me, and I have these resources sitting around my house, I spent some time digging through them, and then digging through their sort of, you know, compliments online, because they're out there. You can find them. None of them talk about this as an idolatry problem. None of them, which makes me think that nobody could figure out why God would command Moses to make an idol. So you just don't talk about it.
Don't ask,
don't tell, exactly. But I'm guessing that whoever put our lectionary together had a sense of humor, because we get the Ten Commandments last week and we get the copper snake on a pole this week. Well, the copper snake gets lifted up on a pole, and anyone who is bitten by one of the poisonous snakes crawling around on the ground is instructed to look at it, and they are healed. And once the snake problem goes away, which we are to assume it does eventually, I'm guessing they move campsites, personally. If they don't, we have other problems, which could be true. The copper snake gets put in the ark with all of the other important artifacts and holy items about God. Until one of those, you know, religious reformer kings comes along, King Hezekiah, and destroys it because idols are bad. So they catch on to this eventually. But as much fun as can be had and puzzlement can be had in this story, it's not really about the snakes. It's not even about this sort of interesting idolatry question. The Israelites have by now spent the bulk of their 40 years in the desert, the bulk of their incredibly long time in the desert. And I think they have once again lost hope. They left Egypt with great promise. Nobody else got them away from Pharaoh. And remember, in Egypt, things got very bad before they got away. And they got away sort of just barely. Pharaoh let them go, and then he changed his mind, and then they still managed to eke out escape. And then, instead of this triumphal procession into a promised land, they wandered. And they've been wandering ever since. They've been wandering on promise. They've been wandering on hope. There have been some food problems. Food is important. There have been some water problems. Water, especially in a desert, is important. There have been some real idolatry problems. There was that golden calf incident earlier on, you know, the idol God had nothing to do with. They've had some ups and downs, some pretty low spots and some pretty good spots. There were the Ten Commandments, even if we can't remember them this morning. It's okay, they're in the prayer book. You can find them later. And they've run out of hope again. It's easy to run out of hope. Hope is fragile. It burns quickly. If you read the Catechism, it offers a definition for Christian hope. It's on about page 861. Someone want to find it? And the question is asked, what is the Christian hope? The Christian hope is to live with confidence in newness and fullness of life, to await the coming of Christ in glory and the completion of God's purpose for the world. Well, the Israelites wandered for 40 years. We've been working on this for 2,000. It burns out quickly some days, doesn't it? It's important to come back together, to let other people lend you some of their hope, to let it rub off when it gets hard. Because some days it gets hard. Some days we need every reminder of hope that we can hold on to. I think that's why Jesus points back to this weird little story about snakes in the desert today in the gospel. Because for all of the strange things about it, I think it helped the Israelites hold on to hope just long enough to make it into the promised land, where there were still plenty of problems and troubles for them to get into. But it became a reminder that God has plenteous hope for us to draw on. That this newness and fullness of life is complete here, in God, together. Even and especially when we are sure that it is not. Amen.